The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I'm Andy.
And I'm Wendy.
And today we will be discussing chapters 41 to 46 of The Eye of the World by Robert Jordan. Last week we followed Rand around Camelot as he met the daughter heir and her brother, stepbrother, mother, the Queen of Andor Morghais, along with the Captain General Gareth Bryn and her Aes Sedai advisor Elida. We also met Loyal the Ogier. As for Perrin and Egwene, they were saved from the White Cloaks by Lan, Meereen, and Nynaeve. That's where pretty decent description of where we left off, correct?
I would say so.
Good, because I'm not re-recording. All right, let's move on to this week's reading. This would be our, what, penultimate? Is that what we decided that word meant? Episode for this book?
We didn't decide anything.
I decided. I like that word. It's long. It's big. Big words are good.
It makes you sound smart.
It makes me sound all smart-like and whatnot.
But it's...
All right. So we're going to begin on chapter 41, Old Friend and New Threats would be the title. So this chapter begins with Rand running through Camelot back to the Queen's Blessing, like running full speed. And he gets back there, he finds Master Gil and Loyal playing stones in the library. And he tells him about what happened with Elaine, meeting Elaine and Morghais and Elida, and Gil was kind of like, yeah, well, Gareth Bryn is out in the common room arm wrestling the Lord Captain Commander of the White Cloaks, so just kind of not believing him so much. I thought that was funny. It's like, yeah, that's good. Like, sure you did, Rand. Of course that happened. So right after he's done telling this little story, they were interrupted by a maid who told Gil that there were White Cloaks in the common room and told him that they're looking for Dark Friends from the Two Rivers. And Gil basically told him just to pound sand to get lost. He doesn't need their type in his area. So.
Right.
And he had, what was his name? Lyowin, I think it's his. No, something like that. I forgot the guy's name. But he had his main, like, protector out there.
Yeah.
And that allowed him to be like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? You want to start a fight with, you know, a whole common room of people who don't like you? Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, a lot easier to be tough when you got your fighters behind you. So,
exactly.
When I was in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s, we'd go to a bar, and there was one guy that went with us quite a bit named Dave. And he was very famous for starting a fight with his mouth and then stepping back and watching it happen.
Oh,
it's like,
my God.
Dude. Yeah, so alcohol's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So, I forgot to mention before we started, I should have, by the way, 19. We now have 19 downloads.
I tell you, Andy.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Pretty soon we'll be doing an interview with Robert Jordan, and everything will be good. He died, by the way. He's not alive.
I know, I was
so.
Going to say, wouldn't that be a little bit difficult?
Yes.
But we're gonna have a seance.
That is exactly right. We're going to get him from the dead, and we're going to have a good talk. And then he will, you know, affect one of us, and we'll go from there. But. All right, so another maid came up to Gil, and he told him that there was a lady in the kitchens asking for Rand and Matt by name, which kind of freaked Gil out a little bit, but Rand was like, wait, if they're asking for Matt, nobody else knows who Matt is. So he goes running to the kitchens, and sure enough, there's Meereen and Egwene, Perrin, the whole group, Nynaeve, Lan. So, Gil, I can't believe I forgot his name. Gil trails behind and meets Meereen, and after being properly introduced, Meereen tells him that she'll get rid of the rats in the inn for him if he wants. And he tells her he's got a room for her, so everything's good, everybody's happy, the whole world is just coming together wonderfully. So.
Well, he was kind of falling all over himself in front of her.
A lot of people do that. He knows what she is. He can tell she's an Aes Sedai. And to tell you the truth, I think
she might go someplace
else. Right. I think Lan might have scared him more than she did. So Lan's is an imposing figure.
Yeah.
So He's got that look that says, guess what? I mean business. So Rand took all the Two Rivers folk up to see Matt, who he had mentioned to Nynaeve that he was sick. And Nynaeve's like, well, I got to get up there right now and save Matt. So she gets up. They all head up there, and Nynaeve can tell. She's like, why are you sweating so much? You shouldn't be sweating with a fever like this. And Matt's like, oh, pretty Nynaeve. Look at you. Never thought of yourself as a woman before, did you? Oh, Perrin, you've changed, haven't you? And, you know, just...
Oh, yeah. He was just being an all-around dick.
Just a pleasant man, isn't he? You can tell why he's my favorite character in the series. I know you can. All right. So Moraine entered, and instantly she was like the priest in The Exorcist. Like, everybody get back! Run away!
Well, she basically...
Right, like exactly. Just like, you all need to leave. Leave me with Matt. We're going to have a little conversation here. We're going to do a little exorcism, and we'll go from there. So Matt tried to stab Moraine with his dagger, and Lan, being Lan, caught his arm just short of Moraine's face, and Moraine just sat there like, what? I wasn't scared. I've got my Lan, so.
Yeah, but she kind of led in to like how she raided Rand, I thought you said that you weren't given anything.
Right. I like how Rand tries to give an answer too. Like, well, it wasn't given to us. He took it. Like, you said that it had to be not to be given anything. sounds like me when I was a little kid arguing with Mom, you know.
Till they were in Whitestone
Bridge. Oh. Like, that makes it okay. Well, you didn't make him get rid of it, did you? Although I don't know that anybody could have made him get rid of it even at that point.
Well, he tried to get him to sell it.
Yeah, that went over pretty well.
Yeah.
Matt was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's sell my dagger. Why don't you sell your sword, Rand? All right, so she gives a little explanation, Moraine does, about how Dark Friends could sense that the evil of that dagger from miles away, and Rand tells her that, well, they've run into lots of Dark Friends on their way here, so that probably makes sense. I believe you. So,
yeah, exactly.
And then Lan confirms that there's Trollocs gathered around Camelin, and Moraine kicks them all out of the room so she can deal with Matt. So,
yes.
Thoughts on chapter 41?
Well, it was funny how Perrin always just kept his eyes down.
Yes.
Like, didn't want Rand to, like, look him in the eyes, but then Rand finally noticed that his eyes were a little bit different.
Right. He's almost like he's ashamed of what he's become, so.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and I also did like when the White Cloaks left, that they kind of like left, knew that they were being pushed out, but like left like they weren't being pushed out.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You got to keep your pride, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to leave now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whether you want us to or not.
Like I said.
And that would be a correct prediction from Wendy. We can mark that off on our little workbook that I still haven't made. One of these days I'll get that made. So.
One of these days.
Any final thoughts on chapter 41? Anything that stood out?
Nope, I think that's pretty much it.
Perfect. Yeah, this was almost a setup chapter, I think.
Yeah.
So. It's like, okay, we got everybody back together, and now we can start pushing our way towards the end of the book, which will be next week, hence the word penultimate earlier. All right, chapter 42, titled Remembrance of Dreams. So Rand took the Two Rivers crowd down to the library, left Matt and Lan and Moraine up in the room. So he takes them all down to the library, and he introduces them to Lol. And after the introductions, Moraine and Matt enter the library, and she explains that she couldn't fully heal him, but she did what she could. The rest would have to be done in Tarvalon, however you want to say that. Moraine meets Loyal and kind of dismisses him, which seems kind of rude to me. But Rand tells her that he told Loyal that... he could join the group when they leave, so she's like, okay, that's fine, he can come along. So
yeah. Oh, that's right, I forgot to mention.
What's that?
Rand told yes. Loyal that he could come with them.
Yeah, because earlier he said no, and then Loyal's like, but Rand? And Rand's like, fine, if you really want to come, you know what's ahead of us. We've got I like the fact that Loyal, when talking about what was ahead of him, he's like, well, yeah, you have dark friends and Aes Sedai. Like, they're almost the same. So he's scared of both of them. So,
yeah.
So Loyal then tells Moraine a story, which is very similar to a story we heard earlier, about a man who entered his studying about 20 years ago at the end of the Aiel War and talked about the Dark One trying to blind the eye of the world and kill time itself. So, and that story earlier was with the Tinkers. The Tinkers told Perrin about a woman who told the same basic story about 3 or 4 years ago, if I remember right.
Yes, so. Exactly.
So, yeah, it kind of validates the story a little bit. You have to think, okay, if two different people are given the same story, there's probably some truth to it, or there's something there. So,
yeah.
So,
I'd say so.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Or else the story, or the title of the book would be kind of weird if the Eye of the World didn't come into it in some way, so. Mm-hmm. All right, so Perrin decided that Moraine needed to know about the dreams they'd been having, and kind of pissed Moraine off, imagine that, because she thinks they probably should have told her about them already, since she told them distinctly earlier, hey, if you have any weird dreams, you might want to let me know about them. So, way to go, guys. So Loyal right then kind of figured out that all three boys were Tavirin. And Moraine agreed. And then she decided that they needed to travel to the Blight to warn the Green Man of the threat. What do you think of the Green Man? We haven't met him yet. What do you think he's going to...
No, we haven't. Like, who is him? They keep talking about the Green Man.
All right. That's what I like to hear. You have no idea. Funny feeling we might end up meeting the Green Man.
Yeah, that would be a prediction.
That's probably a pretty solid prediction. So.
Yeah.
Then Moraine tried to convince Loyal to lead him through the ways to Faldara, but he said no. That if you enter the ways, you either die or you come out mad, and that's not what he wants to do. So
yeah, you die or swallowed by the shadow.
Yeah, kind of pleasant thoughts, right? So
yeah,
I guess we haven't really. We'll wait. We'll wait to talk about the ways because we have the ways coming up and. Later today. Yeah, very next chapter. So we won't get too into that yet, but what are your thoughts on chapter 42, another kind of setup chapter?
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, guys. I guess I've been kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
White Bridge. Yep.
Excuse me. You know, that Moraine couldn't completely heal him. She couldn't separate him from Tatar Valon to do that. But then after she hears the story, then she's like, no, we now have to go to...
Tar Valon can wait. We need to go to Faldara and the Blight.
Yes. like, okay, which one is the worst?
One thing I wish would have been in here, in this chapter, and would make a great side story if somebody wants to win our little contest... I would have loved to have seen the process of Moraine healing Matt as far as she could.
Oh, yeah.
Because I imagine Matt probably wouldn't have kept his mouth shut. I think there are flies.
Sure. I'm sure my...
I have two flies in my living room that are either copulating or fighting, but they are definitely coming together.
Well, thank you, Andy. I'm sure all of our listeners are riveted by your side story.
I bet they... Oh, where'd they go? There they are. All right, I'm back. Have you ever seen slugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Have you ever seen them create baby slugs?
No.
Yeah, find a YouTube video later today.
I'm not a lawyer, Andy. Obviously, you are.
I'm telling you, you will be highly entertained by what you see. All 19 of you listening, go check it out. Hey, check out slug copulation on YouTube. All right, back to the here and now. Chapter 43. Titled Decisions and Apparitions. Rand questioned Loyal about what the ways are and why he won't guide them through the ways. Mm-hmm. And right. Loyal kind of told the whole group about how the ways were created. They were created by a Aes Sedai, 2 or 3,000 years ago, as almost like a gift to the Ogier, because the Ogier had helped them out. So it's like, okay. here's a way for you to travel long distances quick. Almost sounds like the Side Worlds. That hasn't happened yet. Disregard what I just said, Wendy. That may happen in a future book, maybe the next one. I apologize. That's why I should not be reading ahead. All right. So
I thought he said it was created during the time of madness.
Yeah, so it'd be 3,000 years ago. It would have been right at... the intro, what do you call an intro? A prologue?
Yeah.
That we read, that was Luz Theron and Ishmael. He was going by a different name, but... where he went crazy and then killed his wife.
Oh, that was the time of madness. Okay.
The time of madness followed that, where all male channelers went mad. And probably would have completely destroyed the world, but some of them found their way to Steading, Ogier Steading. And because they stayed there for several years, and once they went out, they went mad again. But they still, they separated the madness out enough that the whole world wasn't destroyed. It was just not in a good place. And I believe that's when the ways were created. That was the gift to the Ogier for letting them stay in the Steading.
Yeah,
instead of destroying the world. So, probably explains the Black Wind a little bit too, because the male half of the One Power was already tainted, so then you end up with some evil inside there, and it grows and festers.
It wasn't just a pure gift.
Right. It was meant as a pure gift, but it was a gift with a little tagline with it. Here, have this. And hurry up while you're in there, or else you're going to die. And that, of course, was not a big deal when it was first created, but over the course of a few thousand years, it gets worse and worse and worse up until now. Now it's very dangerous to get inside the ways. In fact, Loyal almost cries, I think, as he's going through and going, what happened? It's like, this isn't like we read.
Yeah.
Because Loyal doesn't know anything. He just knows what he's read, and he's read everything.
Right, exactly.
Kind of like us, doing his reading. So, I think Loyal is the author of these books. Even if it doesn't make sense in the story, I feel like Loyal wrote The Wheel of Time. All right. So, kind of talked about that already. I can skip that. They were corrupted during the War of 100 Years, and now they're not safe to travel. So, some of what I just said probably isn't accurate, but we're going to stick with it anyway. So, Nynaeve questioned why Moraine would want to take him through. If it's so dangerous to go in there, why would Moraine want them to go through? Because Nynaeve never questions Moraine, ever.
Oh, no.
No.
Why should she do
She's
that?
Like, you're my BFF. Did I sound like a teenage girl yet? But and Moraine responded that they basically don't have any other choice, that if they leave the city the normal way, there's Trollocs out there waiting for them, and basically, you have Trollocs, you have White Cloaks, you have a city getting ready to go into riot. I mean, they're pretty much screwed it anyway.
You got Fates, you got everything.
Right, right. I mean, they're basically, it's this or it's death a different way. So at least this way we might not die. So.
It's how do you want to be screwed?
Yeah. Yeah, so you want the bullet through the heart or through the head? Choose your. So, I need to stop watching those flies. All right. When Rand fell asleep that night, he had another Bielsman dream. And in this one, he sees three tiny figurines, which I think would be great. They weren't added to the TV show, but I've always pictured this as great for cinema. Scenes like this, you know, these would be fun. So the three figurines, one had a wolf at his feet, one had a dagger, and one had a sword.
Yes! So
it's almost like they represent our Two Rivers boys, Artaviren.
Yes.
So Bielsman again offered Rand power if he knelt to him, and eternal pain if he refused, and Rand's like, no, I'm still not coming to your side, so.
Yeah.
Bielsman also said, you've come to my side before, which I don't think is true. I mean, there's no evidence one way or the other, but...
He said that they faced each other before.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They keep facing each other. So I think it's like the spirit reincarnated.
Right.
That's what I took from that.
Right. He is. Yep. I agree. So he tells Rand that their battle is as old as time itself, which makes it seem like they fought each other just millions of times, at least hundreds of times before. And he tells Rand that he cannot win. Rand destroyed the figurines. He stabbed his hand on accident while doing it. And then he woke up at the same time as Matt woke up. Tells you that Matt probably had the same dream, right? Or at least a version of the same dream.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt kind of admitted that later in this chapter the same way that he had the dream. Strangely enough, when we come across Perrin, Perrin's pretty calm. So I don't believe Perrin had the dream.
I thought he did.
I don't think he had this one. I think he has wolves protecting his dreams now. I don't think he had this dream because Matt and Rand were both freaked out. And Perrin's just like, hey, beautiful morning today, huh?
Yeah.
Look at the sun. It's all out and nice and shiny and, you know. The Rand came out of that dream with a splinter in his hand, which is kind of weird. Tells you it's not a normal dream. I mean, what happened in there, theoretically, if he had been killed in that dream, it sounds like he could have been killed in real life, right?
Right.
And then Moraine came in the room and said, hey, time to go. So, kind of shades of the beginning of the book when Rand woke up when after healing, just like this, after she had healed his dad, after she had healed Tam. And he wakes up and Lan comes running in and says, okay, sheep herder, we got to go. So kind of the same concept, same idea, so. Anything else in chapter 43 that stands out to you? You should look after chapter 42. Yeah, that's where you'll probably find 43.
No, it was the Black Aja. I put it in there as a question mark, and I'm trying to remember why.
About how they got started, or?
No, hold on. I'm looking.
There's 43.
Hold on. God.
2,000 years ago, I took my Trollocs across the world. Even among Aes Sedai, I found those who knew despair, who knew the world could not stand before Shaitan. For 2,000 years, the Black Aja has dwelt among the others, unseen in the shadows. Perhaps even those who claim to help.
That's what it... Like, who are the... So the...
I don't want to go into too much detail, but I'll do a little bit. So, there are seven Ajahs in the White Tower in Tarvalon. So,
right.
Moraine is a blue.
Right.
You have green as well. The green, they're the Battle Aja. The yellow are the healers. The red hunt men who can channel. One, two, that's four. The brown do research. They're like the librarians.
Right.
The white are the negotiators, or the gray are, one of the two. The gray and the white are negotiators and all wise, like they kind of do the same kind of thing, I think. Is that seven? White, gray, green,
but I think
blue,
but, you know,
red.
I think all the different Ajahs, like, it sounds like with the
correct.
Other Aja.
So the Black right. Aja
like,
is not...
Black Aja as well as a
right.
different Aja?
They're not one of the seven, but... What he's saying is that that there are dark friends among the Aes Sedai, and they are the Black Aja, and they do follow him. They do follow Baal-Zemun. So he's claiming what the Aes Sedai will never admit to, that they're not all on the side of light, that there are those among them that are secretly dark friends as well. So that's
they're not at the tower, or they're the Black Aja are just kind of like
no. They would be at the tower. They'd be throughout the world.
Aja.
Correct. Yes. So they would be, and I'm going to pick the Aja I don't particularly like. So it'd be like you have red Aja, but I'm secretly Black Aja. You know.
Right.
So they don't obviously they don't. They don't really even associate with each other all that much. They know, like, each Black Aja member knows a couple of others that are in the tower, but that's it, and that's how they keep themselves hidden, is that nobody knows all that much. They just know that if they get called, then they have to go. They have to go do the bidding of the Dark Ones, so, or of Baal-Zemun. So, yes, so that's what he's saying, is that the Black Aja does exist, and... Yeah, he's probably right. I don't think that's a lie. You have to think out of any group, there's going to be some bad apples, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I put the big question mark there, because I wasn't sure about what if that's what it was.
Sure.
If they were both.
Yeah, so
I figured that was.
Oh, it was, and I like you asking the question, and yes, like I said, it's not an official group inside. I mean, how awful would that be? Yeah, we're the Black, we're Pleasant, and but yeah, it's not an official group or anything, but yes, those who follow the Dark One instead of the Light would be Black, so yeah. Because that's how we do things in our world. White is good and Black is bad. Apparently, so over and over. Left is bad and right is good. Were you taught that as a kid? That the left was of the... Okay, I was. But I went to Catholic school. Maybe it had something to do with that.
She was a lefty. They made her write with her right hand.
Yeah, same idea. Because the right is of God and the left is of Satan. Is how we were taught. I was left-handed and I did not allow myself to go. Yeah. There's still people that probably believe
that explains you a lot more now.
Doesn't it? doesn't it, though? I mean, isn't Sandy left-handed, too? Yeah, I knew there was something about her I liked. You're almost in the minority in your company, righty.
The thing is, I do some things ambidextrous.
I can actually do quite a bit with my right hand, because...
I also shoot pool with my left hand.
Do you? Yeah, see. When I was in high school, I went to go smack the alarm clock before school one day and broke my finger. Hit the cabinet, the cabinet it was sitting on instead of the alarm clock right on the corner, and broke my finger and had a cast all the way up to my elbow. So I had to learn how to do stuff right-handed. Oh, I hit it hard. So yeah, I had to learn how to do things right-handed, and that was a good time. So yeah,
that was a pain in the ass.
I was in a drafting class where we were, using rulers and whatnot to make like floor plans and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And I remember my teacher, Mr. Hetzel. He's like, "God, your drawings are really not good." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm really not right-handed." Like, I'm trying, I promise, but it just doesn't work that well right-handed, so.
No, exactly.
But yeah, I learned how to do things quite a bit right-handed. I can write like a third grader right-handed. I can throw like a third grader probably as well. And I can beat my little brother off-handed in pool, so. And I can throw like a 150, or I used to be able to. I haven't bowled in so long, but I used to be able to do about a 150 game right-handed, and like a 170 left-handed.
Oh, look at you.
Yep. I had to use a 10-pound ball right-handed and a, 14 or whatever left-handed, but still, it got there. All right, chapter 44.
Wait a second.
We're not done with chapter 43. What are you doing moving ahead?
Separately, we're back to Two Rivers.
Yes. So what do you think? Why is he doing that? Yes. Good old Rand just wants to protect the helpless girls.
Yes.
Who can wield the one power and could tie him in knots and,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could kill him in a second if they wanted to, but gosh, he wants to protect them. So, but he's coming from a good place. It's not like, I guess to a degree he is being chauvinistic, but not like...
No, he's trying to protect them. He doesn't want them to get hurt. He's the one that's being chased.
Right. He knows that they're just...
They began.
They could, exactly. They could just get in the way of what has to be done, even though he doesn't know what has to be done. Yeah, no, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other thoughts on chapter 42? I shouldn't just go... Or 43. I shouldn't just go ahead.
Now you can move on.
I think we should move on to chapter 44. Titled "The Dark Along the Ways." So, what are your thoughts on the ways, with us getting into them? Would you enjoy walking through them?
No,
not at all.
But then again, freak.
Yeah, and that just again, this is something that I think would be great on TV. Just this like a dark cavern almost, where you go across these bridges that have nothing holding them up, onto these islands that have nothing holding them up. And each time you get to a new island, it's almost like you're stacked right on top of the previous island. Almost like it's a spiral staircase is how I picture it. A spiral staircase that takes you to the next island. And you just keep going and going and going. And if you happen to fall off the bridge, you're probably going to fall forever. Like, there doesn't seem to be a bottom to it. So, I mean, it just seems like it would be great for TV, you know?
It would freak me out.
Oh, of course, absolutely, especially once Machin Chin shows up. Can I help you, sir? Yeah, just make yourself comfortable on my computer. You want a cat? If anybody wants a cat, reach out to us at adventuresatranland@gmail.com, and I'll mail you a cat. No, I won't.
You've been threatening me for years about your cat.
Yeah, he'd probably walk all the way back from California. Like, nice try, dude. Now I'm hungry. Feed me. All right, the dark along the ways. Master Gil led the group through a secret exit through the stables out of the Queen's Blessing. And Loyal can kind of sense the way gate. I assume, and I may be wrong on this because I don't think they really go too into detail on it, but I think he's sensing where the tree grove, the ancient grove, right, used to be. And there's a way gate in every grove. So
he wants to see all the groves, and they seem all tied together.
Right, exactly. So he leads them to a cellar, a locked cellar, and Matt's like, well, looks like we can't go in. That sucks. And Moraine's like, abracadabra, it's open now. So they enter the way gate one at a time. That'd kind of be freaky, wouldn't it? You see your reflection, you walk through it, and all of a sudden you're on the other side. Kind of like Poltergeist, the movie. With the mirror. Movie. If you haven't seen Poltergeist 1 and 2, people, go watch them. They have nothing to do with these books, but they're fantastic 80s movies. If you're too young to know what the 80s were, it was a decade. About 30, 40 years ago. Yeah, we had TVs back then and movies. So you have these little clickers now where you can click on the TV without getting up off the couch. Back then you got up and you pulled the knob and it slowly turned on the TV. So it was great.
It was when MTV still played music.
Oh, MTV. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, and remember everybody waiting up to see, like, when the new video would drop?
And there were so many bands that, especially from Europe, who only became popular because they had music videos, and MTV came around and would play their music videos. So you got bands like A-ha.
Europe
and Asia. Yeah, I mean, it was a great time to grow up. You had AIDS. Oh, absolutely. And like you said, I can remember going to the, every day after school, I'd walk home. I only lived like a block away, so it wasn't uphill both ways or any of that stuff.
But the snow, barefoot?
Right, exactly. 5 miles through the snow. If we were late. No, but I would walk home and change my clothes because I went to private school. So I'd get out of the, you know, the fancy blue slacks and red collared shirt, and so I'd change my clothes and I'd go back up to the school where we had a field, a pretty good sized field, and we'd play football or baseball or whatever every day. The whole neighborhood, you know, I mean, there were 15-20 of us who'd play every day. And I remember I went back. My mom still lived in that house. She doesn't anymore, but she lived in that house for quite a while. And I go back home and there's a big old church where that field was. And it's like, man, we got good use out of that field. It's a shame. They already had a church. I don't know why they had to build another church on top of our field. Like, it just, I didn't like it.
Because you were riffraff.
No, it's because other churches in the area spent a lot of money to put up new churches. So they had to keep up with the Joneses. Yep. You know, when I go to edit this episode, it's going to suggest me editing out a lot, and I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it all in. So, Maybe not all of it, but a lot of it. So, all right. So we're in the way gate now, and it's so dark inside that the light of the lanterns have trouble penetrating it. So that'll tell you how scary it is in there. So,
yeah,
not a lot of fun. I picture everybody kind of going single file and kind of holding on to the person in front of them to make sure they're not falling off the bridge or anything like that. So,
well, that's why they all had their own lanterns.
Yeah, but it barely penetrates the darkness. So,
exactly.
The horses are probably having a good time too. You got to think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy if I was.
I wouldn't be happy if I was a human either. So.
Well, we already discussed that we wouldn't be happy.
Right, right. And then you have that little wind behind you making noises. But
you're jumping ahead of chapter.
I am. I apologize. Disregard that. None of you heard that. So we already kind of mentioned the physics don't really make sense inside. There's nothing holding anything up. It's just kind of there. So each island has a little headstone almost, like a map on it in Ogier script that gives directions right. to the different way gates and the different cities around right. the world you can go out in. So that's what they needed Loyal for, is to translate this Ogier script and get them to Faldara. So Loyal led them through, stopping each time he got to an island to get directions and make sure they were still going the right way. And at quote-unquote midday, because you can't really know what time it is, they didn't have watches.
They went by their bellies.
Right, exactly. Lan gave everybody a small meal, and they didn't even dismount to eat it. I mean, they all just stayed on their horses and had a quick little meal. And then just as Rand's deciding, well, it's not so bad. I mean, it's dark and kind of scary, but, you know, it's kind of peaceful in here. He starts hearing the wind. So, no, that's next chapter. I apologize. Disregard that.
Jesus.
Yes?
Didn't we already say that, Andy?
I don't know. I don't listen. You know that. So, Loyal discovered that the bridge they needed to travel over was not there anymore, that it kind of broke. So they had to go back and find their way there again, find a different way there. And of course, Nynaeve's like, or was it Rand? One of them's like, oh, great. Now we wasted all this time in the ways and we have to go back to Camelin. And Moraine's like, there's other ways there. Just relax, okay? Everything's good.
Everything's fine. Because they were also getting nervous. They're like, well, if this was destroyed, what else has been destroyed?
Right.
And she's like, well, it looks like it happened a long, long time ago. It didn't look doesn't look like it's something current.
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely evil in here, but don't worry about it, guys. You're gonna be fine. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. Any other thoughts on chapter 44?
Just like where he was talking about like the islands. Where Loyal said that they used to be lush.
Right, and now they're barren. Yeah.
It's all barren in there.
Oh yeah, I mean,
but
it just
from what he had read though.
When it was made, it was a cool, beautiful little ways around, and now it's not the best place to get trapped. So. Hey, puns are fantastic. How could this world even exist without puns? What a boring world. So, any other thoughts on chapter 44?
I can skip to the wind in chapter 44.
Now we get to talk about Machin Chin. Has a cool sound to it. Chapter 45, What Follows in Shadow. So, Rand notices that, or notes that nothing's actually holding up the bridges, which we kind of talked about already, and that's kind of unnerving. Nynaeve complains that they wasted time, like I talked about last chapter, but she didn't actually do it last chapter. I had jumped ahead. And Moraine, of course, like I had mentioned, says that there's other ways to get there and tells Lol, hey, Lol, find us a different way. And Lol's like, okay, don't argue with Aes Sedai.
But it's funny because the chapters do kind of blend together while they're in the shadow, and it's...
Oh, yeah.
I think it's apropos because it's so dark.
Well, and it's almost like it is all one chapter. You just broke them up almost, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's like, or this is a storyline, if you will, that goes a few chapters. And it was actually fairly well broken up randomly by me. When I was breaking up the chapters, I went more off of page count and word count than I did off of, you know, what was actually going on. But I've noticed that it has broken up fairly well, like what chapters we do. So that made me happy. So that's all. So eventually Lan stopped him for the night, if you will. They got hungry again. So Rand says, Lan says, let's sleep here on this island. And they set up camp. They had dinner. They had tea because Moraine has to have her tea. And they're laying down to sleep. And Moraine tells them that she can protect their dreams. So they'll be fine as long as they're near her. Kind of have a funny feeling that that's not always true. But, you know, she thinks it, so it must be. So they wake up the next morning. They had a quick breakfast. Probably the same thing they had for dinner. And Lan told them that there's somebody following them. But they're not exactly going to backtrack to find out who that is. So we just know that there is somebody behind them.
Well, didn't Loial tell them that, hey, listen, you can't. Don't separate because you'll get lost. And
right.
You'll never find us. He goes, you can't read over here, can you? He goes, no, we have to stick together.
Right, exactly.
Loial is the head of reason there.
And Loial is a fairly reasonable guy. He's, you know, or Ogier, I guess he's not necessarily a guy. Is guy a human term? Can a male dog be a guy?
I think anything can be a guy.
All right.
Girls can be guys, you know?
Can they?
Say, hey, guys.
I thought girls were gals.
Yeah,
are you like stealing our words?
Be gender neutral, like when you're like, hey, guys, right?
Well, right, but okay. You aren't going to say, hey, gals, when it's a bunch of guys. I think that's unfair that you're stealing our words.
Yeah, you're right.
Give it back.
If you want to be.
It's ours.
Somewhat, I'm certain to be offended if I went up to a bunch of people and said, hey, guys, and there were some girls there.
I might as well get a warning out ahead of time. There later on in our stories... not in this book, but in future books, there will be some things coming up that are not,
PC?
Yeah, they're not PC. There's some slavery that comes in and stuff like that. I'm just going to say this, and you guys can all get upset at me if you want to, and gals, guys and gals, of course. I don't care. It's part of the story. I'm not pro-slavery in any way, but I don't care that it's in there. It's part of the story. It's a fictional world. And I'm not going to pull aside and go, oh my God, I can't believe this is in there. No, I don't care.
Slavery has been around forever.
Right. It's part of the story. It's part of the society that we meet. And, you know, if how could they be a good bad guy if they didn't have bad guy traits? You know? So yeah, I don't care.
I just found where the bees are.
Did you?
My neighbor's boat.
Nice. At least they left yours. You put some voodoo on them to make them go to your neighbor?
No, but... they are, like, all on the base of the mast.
Maybe you shouldn't have rubbed his mast with honey. All right. So, we had breakfast, right? And we got to an island after we got started walking again. They found evidence that Trollocs had been in the ways, and there were some Trolloc runes on a sign, and there were dead Trollocs that just looked awful. I mean, they just looked like they did not enjoy their last moments of life. So...
yes. Didn't they also say that they figure out that Trollocs could travel through the ways?
Well, and why would that matter? Because that's just
that's
a question.
How they mass those armies.
Yep. And it'll matter more later as well, as far as what Trollocs and Fades can and can't go through. So, but we'll figure that out in several books. That's not even till like book 5. So I apologize for even bringing it up. But yes, yes, they did. You're absolutely right. So later that day, Rand notices that he can hear a wind, and we finally get to meet Machin Chen. I just love the way that sounds. So he asks Loial about it, and Loial turns all pale and quiet and starts talking about how Machin Chen is following him. And he tells Moraine that they need to go. Moraine says, well, how close are we to Faldara? He tells her it's just two more bridges and they'll be there. So they pick up their pace a little bit. They're like, we gotta get there. So they arrive ahead of the wind at the way gate to get out, only to find that the Avendisora leaf is missing, so they can't open it up.
Right.
So Moraine's like all abracadabra and just destroys the Waygate so they can get out. Although that's probably not what she actually said. But, you know, you can imagine her saying that now. So black cape, black hat, rabbit out of the hat, all that good stuff. So so as they're all filing out of the Waygate entrance that she blew up, she's using the power to try to hold back the wind, which is not overly successful, but it at least maybe holds it back a little bit. And she's the last one to exit. The wind tries to follow her out, but it cannot leave the ways, so it's stuck in. And our group is safe for now.
Yes.
Yay. Woo! So since she destroyed the gate, it can't be closed. So she decides that she'll just take everybody to Faldara, and when she gets there, she'll ask Lord Aglomar, who kind of runs Faldara, to have it, like, boarded up, you know, to have it manually closed so that nothing can go in and out. So basically making it so that Faldara is now off limits as far as the ways go. So, but, you know, if you're finding Trollocs, dead Trollocs in there, and evidence that Trollocs are going through there, maybe it's not a bad idea to get that closed up anyway, you know?
Exactly. I would think so.
I think fate had something to do with that. Says, hey, maybe not such a good idea. Anything else on chapter 45 that stood out to you?
No, just how they escaped by the skin of their teeth from the shadow.
Yes. You can picture the music in the background picking up, getting faster, getting a little bit louder.
I was getting nervous there for a second.
Yeah, doo-doo, doo-doo. Oh, wait, no, it's not Jaws. Never mind, it's something else. But all right, chapter 46, our final chapter, which means that last one was our penultimate chapter of the day. Chapter 46, our final chapter today, is titled Faldara. So we're outside the Waygate, and the land is just dead and cold. Rand notices, like, trees have split just because it's so cold that the trees can't even, you know, the sap freezes and expands and just, I mean, it makes me want to go get a coat. Sounds awful. You're in California. You don't understand true cold unless you're in the mountains, which you're not. But it does get cold out there, I guess, but not in L.A., So it should be spring right now, and it's clearly still winter, so the world is getting weird. So they continue towards Faldara, and they see farms that were abandoned, and just not a pleasant sight if you think about it. I mean, you're expecting to see, you know, farmers working the land and stuff like that, and nobody's even in their farms. They've all gone to the city, so... clearly, not good times. So, Rand tried to convince, this is where we were talking about, Rand tried to convince Lol and Egwene and Nynaeve to stay behind in Shinar, instead of coming with them to the Blight, and they're all like, nope, we're going too. You can't tell me what to do, I'm 13, I do what I want, but, that's a South Park, by the way, sorry. They entered Faldara. And they notice that it's smaller than Camelin when they describe it, but it's heavily fortified, like super fortified. And you'll find out as we go through the stories, and really next book, they really get into this more, the beginning of the next book. But here in the Borderlands where they are, they have to fight Trollocs and Murdrel quite frequently. Like, they come out of the Blight, which is where we're headed. That's where these the Trollocs and the Murdrel and stuff like that come out of. So these cities that are along the borderlands, they're, you know, they're way more fortified. They're used to having to go out and fight, you know. I mean, whereas most people in the Two Rivers, they're all farmers, they're all soldiers here. Like, even the farmers, right, are soldiers. You know, I mean,
right.
So the women know how to fight here. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. It's the way of the world. So it'd be like living in Israel or Palestine. You know, I mean, you're used to fighting, or I don't know, Iran or somewhere else over in the Middle East. Yes. But so Land tells them that they need to take off their hoods and show their faces. That's one of the security measures they make, because with their hoods down, a fade will be easily recognizable.
Right.
So it makes it safer, so Fades can't sneak in. You know, I mean, good idea. Whoever figured that out was probably pretty smart. So that's the law here in Shinar, which is the country that the city of Faldara is in. So as they enter the city, a lot of the people there in Faldara, they recognize Lan. He's from the Borderlands. He's from Malkier, which doesn't exist anymore. And they ask him about the Golden Crane and ask him if he's shown up. They're like, oh, great, you've shown up. You can come down to help us fight. And he's like, nope, I got other things I have to do. Sorry.
Yeah.
So they get to the center of the city, and there's an army getting ready to go to Tarwin's Gap to fight some Trollocs that are amassing there. And again, they ask, they're like, hey, are you guys going to come with us? I'd really help. We'd like his sword and her magic. And they're like, nope, we've got another mission. Lo siento. That's for those of us who don't speak Spanish, that's I'm sorry. But all right, so, and Lan also told him that Malkier is dead, which is kind of like makes Lan kind of seem like a emo, right? He's like, Malkier's dead, okay? But,
and why did they call Lan Daishan?
Daishan means... Oh, what does it mean? It has a... It's old tongue. We haven't really gotten into the old tongue yet.
And oh, okay.
We only touch old tongue throughout the show.
Oh, okay.
It's what was spoken before the common language came up. And
okay.
We have some characters like Matt randomly speaks Old Tongue later in the series, which is actually quite humorous. But I mean, that's assuming that he doesn't die at the end of this book, which he might. You never know.
What?
But what?
Are you giving me a spoiler?
No, I'm pretty sure you know that he survives past the end of book one. He probably wouldn't be my favorite character if he just died immediately.
Oh, you said Matt. I thought you said Lan.
No, Matt.
Oh.
I'm trying to find it in my little book here. But I don't know how to... How do you spell that?
D-A-I space S-H-A-N.
Daishan. It's a Malkiri title meaning Diadem Battle. So basically they're calling him a battle lord.
Okay. All of a sudden, you got your voice is sounding far away.
Oh, I apologize. That's because I took the computer off my lap so I could look at the book.
Yeah, because it was hard to hear you.
That's funny. I apologize to all of you who didn't get to hear my wonderful voice for a couple of seconds there. All right. So for those of you who didn't hear because I put the computer farther away from me, Daishan is what she was asking about, what Wendy was asking about. And it's a battle lord in Malkier, so which makes sense because he's obviously some kind of battle commander. So, all right. So, Lord Aglemar wants to get to him. He tries to convince him to join the battle as well, and they're like, "No, stop asking." He says, "Well, but the Trolloc raids were really bad this year. Will you please?" And they're like, "No." He's like, well, at least let me take some of these soldiers that I need and send them with you into the Blight, then. And they're like, no. Like,
yeah.
Like, how does that help you? So you want us to join your battle, but if we won't, then you're going to take your soldiers that you need for your battle and send them with us.
Yeah.
So that was refused as well. So our little group is going into the Blight alone. Kind of a scary thought. So they have a... kind of a feast there in Faldara. They eat dinner. Ingtar came in and told Aglemar that a stranger with a Lugardar accent had entered the city. Did you know who it was right away?
It kind of did. Kind of figured it out.
Yep. Good. Good. So we have Padon Fane showing back up again. I bet you didn't think at the very beginning of this book when you had a peddler show up that he would actually play a role and would still be there at the end.
Yeah, and it's funny how they are. Like, they went through the ways to cut time.
Right.
Like, Padon Fane seems to be able to, like, be there before them or just right after them.
Well, I think he was the one who was in the ways following them. Remember, they had somebody following them in the ways. I think that was Pat on Fame. So there's no evidence of that. I mean, it doesn't straight out say that. But I think that that would explain why he got there almost at the same time as they did.
But would that also explain the other places where he met up with them so quickly?
No, not necessarily. He is a dark friend, as yeah. we talk about in this chapter, I believe. And if we,
yeah, he said he made me his hound, assuming that was Balzamon.
Right.
So I'm wondering if as a hound he can go faster if he has some magic in him.
Well, remember too, who was he finding? Like all these other places they saw him. Who was it that saw him?
Rand.
Yeah, Matt and Rand. Oh, Rand typically saw him. But Matt was with him, and Matt had the dagger. And dark friends can sense that dagger. So I think he was able to sense the dagger and follow them because of that dagger. I think that's how he was able to stay on their trail, no matter what they did. But again, that's just speculation. So I tried calling up Robert Jordan and asking him about that, and he didn't answer. So he was suffering from a slight case of death, and apparently that can keep you from answering the phone. So, except for in Poltergeist. Watch that movie from the early 80s. All right. So so Moraine, when hearing about this, Lugarder in the city, Moraine gets suspicious, like instantly. And she says she wants to see him and that he needs to be brought to almost like an interrogation room.
Right.
Where she can talk to him. We know you did it. Just admit it, okay? So they bring him to a private dining room where he's alone there. And the Two Riversians, I think I just made up that term, but they recognize him as Puddin' Fane, which we've already discussed. And they see that he is clearly insane. I mean, he's gotten all bat crazy. And he's also clearly a dark friend. Yeah. So Moraine tells Agomar that she wants to interrogate him, and he's brought to a place where they can be alone, like we just talked about.
Yeah, I like how she said he was more than a peddler, less than human, worse than vile, more dangerous than Lord Angomar could imagine.
Right, right, because he just seems like this poor little peddler to everybody else, and she's like, oh no, there's something wrong with that man.
Yeah.
Like, he's barely a man anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's funny, and it's not just in this story, it's in many, many stories. When you align yourself with the evil, it seems like good things don't happen to you.
It seems like you go crazy.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know why anybody would be like, yep, that's the side I want to be on.
Yeah, so exactly.
So, yeah, thoughts on chapter 46?
Oh, I had a couple. I just thought it was weird, like, when they got there, how dead everything was, dead and vacant. Many even Egwene noted the curtains, the light curtains, and that they wouldn't have been left in winter. I just thought that was a weird thing and just stuck out in my head.
Well, right, because it's not winter, it's spring.
Right.
But
right.
Spring never came. So, okay, so the way it kind of works is the Blight, which was mentioned in this chapter, and where we'll be going in next week's reading, the last reading. We're headed to the Blight to meet the Green Man and the Eye of the World and all that good stuff. Yeah. Because we're finishing this book next week. The Blight is expanding. It's coming like it's getting bigger and like swallowing up lands in the borderlands here. So that is why it's just getting worse in this area, and it's just swallowing up city after city. Like, slowly.
Yeah.
Think of, like, the movie The Blob. Remember that movie?
Exactly.
It's like that. Yeah. That's how I picture it.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So it's almost like they're going, these cities, these towns are going from, like, color to black and white. You know, I mean, they're just getting swallowed up by the Blight, and once that happens, nothing
like
good comes from
it. Like the opposite of that movie where everything went from black and white to color.
Right.
With Reese Witherspoon and Tobey Maguire.
I don't think I've seen it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it. I'm not a big fan of Tobey Maguire.
But in any case, but I also thought it was very interesting how Nynaeve, when Rand was telling him that they didn't have to go to the the eye that Nynaeve insisted because of the pattern, but then she corrected herself from calling them boys to calling them men.
Yeah, she's finally
like she's
starting
realizing that they're growing up.
Right, like, oh, you're not our Two Rivers boys anymore. You're kind of becoming men.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Rand and Perrin. I'm not sure she's ready to call Matt a man yet.
No.
I find that throughout this entire series, Matt is badly mistreated. So, he is a hero. And he truly is throughout the series. He saves people a lot. But because he's such a jackass, people, like, don't see how often he acts. Yeah, they just see him as this, you know, gambler who won't take anything seriously. And it's like, listen, like, he's a good person at heart. He just doesn't know how to express his good person essence. So yeah, oh, yeah. I will stand for Matt.
And then I also thought it was funny how the story of Egwene dancing with Arum came up.
Yes.
And that Rand should hold her against her, and then Rand, because she was getting all upset with Rand about the queen.
Right, about Elaine.
Elaine.
Which she didn't believe the story back when he first mentioned it. She's like, oh, here I am trying to have a serious conversation. You can't even do it for a minute, Rand. Yeah. You know?
And then Rand remiss said that her, at least in the way that they both want. Yeah, you know, so they were kind of, he was kind of remembering that. Like, there are a lot of throwbacks, I think.
Yes, which is current. Yeah, a good book is going to have that at the end. It's going to start trying to tie things together a little bit and
bring the
end back to the beginning, etc. Almost like a wheel of time.
Yeah. And then I loved everyone was shouting glory to the builders for Loyal.
Yep.
When he came in. Like, it was like, aw. Well, they recognize them, and then, you know.
Well, the thing about the Ogier is that they don't get out much. They just kind of hang out in their trees and they just don't really associate with the rest of the world. So when they get out, they're peace-loving, like, they're just good creatures. And yes, as long as they're not mistaken for Trollocs, they get great.
Now, are Ogiers and Trollocs related somehow? Like, are they cousins?
Not at all. And I have no evidence of that, but I feel like, correct. Trollocs were created as, from humans. Like, they warped humans and kind of, like, took humans and warped them with animals to create Trollocs. And I've always seen Ogier almost as, like, living trees.
Gotcha.
You know, like,
like, I am Groot.
Yes, like a bigger Root. That I love. He's my favorite character in that movie. So I love Root.
Groot.
Yes, but I am Groot. If you think of Lord of the Rings, the walking trees. I kind of see Ogier as more along those lines. So
I'd be confusing them with Trollocs.
You wouldn't think, but I can have my thoughts regardless. That's not the only thing that I'm probably wrong on. You know, I think
he could be in Andyland.
Exactly. I think that even though the author of this book, Robert Jordan, says that Nynaeve and Egwene are not Temirin, I think they are.
Yeah.
I think all five of the characters from the Two Rivers are Temirin, and that nobody can tell that the two girls are. Because male Temirin and female Temirin is sensed differently.
Yeah.
Just like the male power and the female power are sensed differently. And that those who can see Temirin can only see the male Temirin. And that's why they don't realize that the girls are as well. So I just think I think too many things as we go through this whole story into future books. I think too many things happen to those two girls that have to happen for the things that happen later to happen correctly. Like, there's just too much fate there. I can't get into details, so it sounds funny, but
oh my god.
There's too much fate there for them not to be Temirin as well, in my opinion. So, especially in Wayne. All right. Any other thoughts on today's reading?
No.
All right. Well, that was good. That was well thought out.
Waiting for, you know,
tonight.
I'm waiting to finish it. I'm very excited.
Get there. We have one more. Yes. Next week will be our last episode. Well, it'll be the end of this book. It'll be our second to last episode on this book. But because we're going to have probably a short episode the week following, where we do kind of an overview of the first book and what we think is coming up in the next book, et cetera, et cetera. So, any predictions for this week?
If Moraine's going to be able to get stuff out of the peddler, if he's going to, like, die while she's trying to talk to him.
Okay, I like that. So you think she may go too far with him, if you will, and in trying to get information out, she ends up maybe kills him?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Unintentional.
So what?
There's a fail switch in him where he'll go, where he'll die.
Almost like he bites down. You zero disagrees with you. So, if anybody wants a dog, just give me your address and I'll mail them to you. Actually, he's telling me that he's out of water in his bowl and I need to get over there and refill it. But I've said a bowl. It's not really a bowl. He has a water fountain that he drinks out of because my pets are spoiled. But all right. Any other predictions for this week?
We're going to find out who the Green Man is.
We are going to find out. That is a good prediction, that the Green Man may come into play. Otherwise, why would we have mentioned him?
And I think we're finally going to figure out the Eye of the World and what that is, really.
And that brings into my questions I had for you. Well, so that leads right in. What are your thoughts on the Eye of the World? What do you think the Eye of the World is?
I think we're going to find out.
That is not an acceptable answer. I need a better answer. What are your thoughts on the Green Man? What is he?
I'm almost thinking that it's like the Wizard of Oz. He's the wizard.
That's actually not that far off. You could say he's like the, you take the Wizard of Oz and you splice him with the Green Giant from the, that sells peas.
Yeah.
You know, ho, 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 Green Giant. And you almost put those two together and you get the Green Man. So I like that. What do you think the Eye of the World is? What do you think its purpose is?
I think the Eye of the World is almost like what I'm picturing in my head is almost like a round table with like a globe or something like that that you can see things in.
Interesting. So almost like a foretelling machine.
Not like where you could see what's going on, or like it brings things together, like the people that are important.
Okay.
Like, and you can all see, right, like it shows certain truths about what's going on.
And do you think there will be a battle at the end of the book, or is this book just going to kind of end and lead into the next book?
It's going to end on a cliffhanger. I guarantee it's going to end on a cliffhanger, and I'm going to be really upset with you.
Probably, especially since I'm going to make you wait 2 weeks after it ends to start reading the next book. So we don't know whether there will be a battle. But we do know that there will be a cliffhanger. That's probably a fair assumption. Anything else that you think will be... is there anything open, really? There really isn't all that much that's open right now.
I'm wondering if, when they go see the Green Man, if Tom's going to be there.
Okay. So you don't think Tom's dead?
No, I don't think Tom's dead.
But there was a fade.
He's dead.
All right. So we think that Tom's going to be hanging out with the Green Man eating peas.
Maybe.
All right. I like it.
Luna.
I like it.
Or at least juggling for him.
So
maybe he's juggling peas.
Juggling peas. I like it. That'd probably be harder than juggling balls because they're so small. All right. So we're headed into the Blight next week. Do we have a question? So... No, I don't really. I haven't been very good with questions, so I'm not going to ask one. No one's answered yet anyway, so here's what I will ask. Number one, if you want to win some random prize that I'll have to figure out.
Random prize?
If anybody writes me a story and emails it to us, you're gonna be this week's winner. So or this book's winner. So just write me a story. I want to read your stories. Email them to adventures@ranland@gmail.com. And you know, if there's one story, then it's probably going to be read on air during our overview episode. If there's several stories, then maybe the best of them will be read on air during our overview episode. If there's no stories, then I can't read any of your stories. So give me stories. Also, the way podcasting apparently works, and if I'm making this up, I apologize, but I heard it off of other podcasts that I listen to, and I trust them to be honest. So the way podcasting works is if you, especially with Apple Podcasts, if you rate us, if you rate what you listen to, then they get bumped up the listening order and more people can find them. So I ask any of you who actually listen to this, you in St. Louis who's listening, please rate us. Give us a rating and a review. If I see a review, I'll read it on the air as well. So otherwise, yeah. I want next week we are finishing the book. We are finishing book one, The Eye of the World. And we're going to see how accurate Wendy's musings of the end of the book are. Now, did she get it all right? Was she way off? Is there even a green man? Was the green man a figment of Lowell's imagination? We'll find out next week. So, is Lowell the green man in disguise? That's what we want to know. So thank you for listening. Next week, like I said, we will finish The Eye of the World. The week following that, we're going to have a kind of a break in between the two books. And then the week following that, we will begin book two, which is The Hunt for the Horn. Woo. I will see you on Monday. The rest of you, I will see you whenever I get this edited. I always say I'm going to get it edited and put up by Wednesday, and I don't think I've done that even once, so I expect it maybe Thursday. I will have it edited in on.
Andy, you need it to be consistent.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. Not only that, but I don't even edit it that much. I barely edit it. You know, I pretty much go, okay, that sounds good. I try to take out some of the ums and ahs and awkward silences, but outside of that, I figure whatever's said is said. So, just an FYI for those listening, unlike a lot of shows, I'm not going to call shows out by name, podcasts by name, but we don't come to this with a agreed upon script. Wendy and I do not talk about what we're going to say until we start recording. So I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. I see it as a positive because anybody who just has this script that they just read off of and that's the whole show, there's no fun to that. Like, we just kind of try to play off each other live. So, you know, we're better than everybody else is all I'm trying to say. So listen to us. Review us. Write me a story so I can read it. If you do write me a story, remember that it has to stick to book one. You cannot foreshadow what happens in the future unless you're able to foreshadow it so much that Wendy doesn't realize that it's foreshadowing. If she realizes it's foreshadowing, then you've screwed up and disqualified yourself. So give me something to read. Give me a story that fits into the storyline of book one. Give me my story I wanted from this week. I want to see what happens when Moraine does her little healing on Matt. That's the story I want from somebody. Give me my story. I'm hungry for it.
Not demanding much, are you?
No. All I want is a short story. Chapter 56A, you know, or B.
All right, my love.
Well, I will see you all next week. Wendy, I'll see you on Monday. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.